She shrugs. I'm trying to turn over a new leaf. Just then, a black-haired young man falls out of the passenger door and all but kisses the ground. He rights himself quickly, leaning against the truck. Even though he's a little green, everyone immediately recognizes him. Chloe's blonde friend gasps. Oh, my God!
Is that...
James says. Chloe stands a little straighter, her eyes wide as saucers. Darian! At the sound of his name, Darian Freeman quickly pulls back his shoulders and jerks his head toward her. There's a subtle shift in his face, a rehearsed set to his lips, a levelness of his eyebrows that makes me think of the masquerade. A mask. He turns to me.
Elle.
Darian! Chloe cries again as she drops her club and hurries over to him. Oh, my God, it is you! She looks around at her friends, her smile broadening in an I-told-you-so sort of way. James, get this on video! She slaps him on the arm to get him moving, and he pulls out his phone. She flips her hair back and rushes up to Darian. Darian, I didn't know how you would find me. Was it the petition? You know I started that petition. I can't believe she was telling the truth, Aaron whispers to James, who nods, shocked. They're literally speechless. I never thought I'd see the day. My heart is in my throat when I tell it not to be. It's speeding up when I tell it not to expect much. I don't know why he's here. He knows Chloe isn't the girl he danced with. But of course he's succumbing to her charms. Who wouldn't?
It took a while. I just wanted to formally apologize, he says.
Chloe feigns shock. Apologize? For what? And how did you find me? She asks, touching his biceps, leaning toward him. To her, flirting comes as natural as breathing. Right. Because she's the one who wanted him anyway. Not me. Maybe in some other universe, but here, not me. But then he tilts his head and glances over at me. And the mask begins to slip away, little by little, until I can see something familiar underneath. He smiles at me.
I just came to return something to Elle.
Elle? Chloe echoes. He holds up a slipper made of starlight.
Well, Ablena?
He asks, offering it to me. Ablena. There's only one person who's ever called me that. Who's ever wanted to. My heart rises into my throat like a balloon. Carmendor. In front of Chloe and her friends, in front of James who pretended to love me, and Cal who learned to love herself, and Sage who taught me that being who you are is okay, I slip a foot out of my boat shoe, country club rules, and set it before me. He kneels and gently takes my heel, and then slips my mother's starlight slipper right onto my waiting foot.
Darian. She stares down at me, her messy braid of dyed red hair spilling over her shoulder. She pushes up her boxy black glasses and steps forward, hesitant, like I'm playing a trick on her. A light brushing of freckles dot her cheeks. I noticed them before, but now I want to connect them like constellations. A starry sky on the skin that is slowly but surely turning red. Glowing. L. Not Princess Amara. Not the girl from the convention who broke my nose. Still blaming her. Don't argue. Not a stranger I can't trust. I don't know how I imagined meeting her. Really meeting her. Without a mask or a costume or a facade. I don't even remember what I thought she might look like. How I imagined her. how I thought she'd be, because this is the only Elle I could ever imagine. She's the only possibility that could have ever existed. I won't say that she is perfect, or that she is the most beautiful girl I have ever seen. But the moment her gaze finds mine, she's the best parts of the universe. She's a person I would love to spend a lifetime with on the observation deck of the Prospero. She swallows hard, her lips tightly together. The damp grass begins to seep into my jeans, and I hear Lonnie's distinctive, "Keep back, please," behind me. But I don't want to get up. I want to stay locked here in this moment. I wait, wondering if she could ever forgive me. The Carmendor me, the actor me, the human me. Darian Freeman and Carmendor combined. Finally, so quietly I almost can't catch it, although I don't need to. I'm watching her lips and read the words in the air. She speaks. Says what I never thought I'd hear from her. I hear the observation deck is nice this time of year. Carmendor.
L. He doesn't answer for a moment, but then he laughs. It's soft and deep, like a velvet cake wrapped in creamy mousse. Eventually he replies, like I hoped he would, like I wished he would, my heart soaring up and up and up into space. Only on the south side of Metron. He doesn't look like Darian Freeman. He looks like any guy with dark curly hair, wearing a Starfield shirt that's a little too small, faded jeans and old Vans. He looks like someone who could play Carmendor, if given the right color uniform, or someone you could meet at the mall. There's a scar on his chin that Carmendor doesn't have, and a purpling bruise spreading around his cheeks, which, oh, right. I guess that was my fault. He's rubbing the back of his hand against one of his eyes like he has something in it, like tears, maybe. Oh, Knox's ass, is he crying?
I thought you'd hate me, he says, standing up. I didn't write that last text message. It's a long story, but I didn't write it. But I didn't own up to it either. I was scared. I thought if I told you who I was, you'd hate me.
Oh, you big dork! I wrap my arms around him in a hug. He puts his arms around me, too, and buries his face in my hair. Stop crying. You're gonna make me cry.
I'm not crying, he strangles out, clearly crying. Just to clear the air. I won't always look this good, so if you're just charmed by my killer abs...
I press my hand against his stomach. We both know they're airbrushed.
How dare you? I won't look as good as what I'm saying.
Well, it's a good thing I didn't fall for your charming looks. He hesitates.
So you can forgive me? For lying to you? For...
I press a finger to his lips. It's a good question. One I don't know the answer to. But I remember our waltz, and his coming to my defense, and I think I could forgive you if...
If?
If you call me Oblena again. He takes my hand and steps closer, so close my bones are jittery. He smells like the magic pumpkin and fresh deodorant and cinnamon, and it's a scent I want burned into my memory. I want it on my clothes. I want his gaze, the way he looks at me. Like I'm the last star in the night sky and the first one at dusk, branded on my heart. He's tall, but not so tall that I'm looking up his nose into a cerebral cortex. And he's unsure, and he's courageous and conflicted and so very Darian, the real one. He begins, enunciating every syllable, raising his hand to my chin.
Blen?
Tilts my face up, slowly drawing toward me, like two supernovas about to collide.
Ugh.
And somehow, in this impossible universe, his lips find mine.
Got it, James says somewhere behind me. And uploaded.
Uploaded? Chloe echoes, her voice bordering on a shriek. No, no, take it down. Take it down right now.
Excuse me, miss?
A huge burly guy in a suit, Darian's bodyguard, I guess, claps a giant hand on her shoulder.
I'm going to need you to calm down.
When he sees me looking, he shoots me a subtle thumbs up. Darian slowly pulls away from me, smiling. We can't stop smiling. Can't look away enough to care. The entire world could be fallen to the invasion of the Nox, and we wouldn't be the wiser.
I've wanted to do that ever since you called me Ah-Blen.
I'm glad you know what it means, I reply, tongue-in-cheek, remembering Hello, America. But what if I was bald? You didn't even know what I looked like. Shared it, Cal confirms, looking at her own phone. Sage peers over her shoulder and nods.
Nice. Twitter, Tumblr, wanna hashtag it?
Done.
Stop it! This isn't funny! Chloe cries. You are the worst! I can't believe you're ruining this for me! You all are!
Darian chuckles.
You're behind Rebel Gunner. That's worse.
I scrunch my nose. Is it really?
Oh yeah. You're the enemy.
I'll just keep you on your toes. He mock gasps.
I wouldn't want to jeopardize the integrity of a critic.
I grin against his mouth. Then you better kiss me again. I want to make sure I get that part right for my next post.
Now that I can do, princess.
And he kisses me again. It isn't the kind of kiss to end a universe of possibilities. It's the exact opposite. It's the kind of kiss that creates them. L. 8 months later. I stare out of the town car window in amazement. They're monsters, I mutter to myself, looking at all the fans. I imagine myself getting out onto the red carpet with the greatest of ease, but there's no way that's happening with this crowd, let alone in this dress. I couldn't even wiggle out of the magic pumpkin at prom, and now I'm supposed to just casually slip myself out of the back of a black SUV? Ha! Sage and Cal gaze out their windows, too, their hands laced together. I don't think they've stopped holding hands since that day at the country club. And I don't think they're going to stop anytime soon. They're even going to the same city for college. I mean, New York is a huge place, and there are tons of colleges there. But they'll still be in the same city. Sage even designed their wardrobe for the premiere tonight. A sleek pantsuit, the subtle print in the shape of star wings, for herself. And a slinky dark purple dress that swirls in and out of itself like the black nebula for Cal.
I've never seen so many people. Dog!
Sage scowls, shoving the brown dachshund off her pantsuit.
This is premium quality. Next time you jump on me, I'll skin you and wear you as a hat.
Frank the Tank swishes his tail and gives a yip. I pick him up and stroke him under the chin.
Shh! Auntie Sage didn't mean that. Oh, like hell I didn't.
You'd clash with her wardrobe, I whisper into the Frankenator's ear. You'll never be a hat. He barks again, tongue lolling happily out of the side of his mouth, and Sage scowls, smiles. Under her thorny exterior, she's actually grown attached to the Frank. After the con, Catherine was still, well, she was still Catherine. She never apologized for her words, but I never expected her to. I just began treating her with the exact courtesy she showed me, which was none. So on the night of my 18th birthday last September, I packed my bags, got into the magic pumpkin idling in the driveway, surely drawing the ire of all the neighbors, and left. I didn't even write a note. For the rest of my senior year, I lived with Sage and her mom. At night, I missed my house. I missed the way it creaked and groaned. I missed the leaks. But I learned that when I closed my eyes, I was still home. I still saw my parents waltzing in the living room. I still smelled Dad's burnt roast in the oven. I could still remember following him around as I read my fanfics. It was all still there, tucked tightly away inside me. The house might have belonged to my parents, but Mom and Dad weren't the house. They were in me, and wherever I went, I carried them along. The car slowly moves up in the queue line. There are so many people out there, waving signs and shouting Darian's name. Some say, "I heart Darian." Others, "I want to wabble wabble with you." It reminds me of the crowd I first saw on Hello America. I lift Franco so he can see all the crazy people, too.
"So is your lover boy going to meet you on the carpet?"
Sage asks. I shrug. "I think so."
"You think so?"
I've been a little preoccupied, remember? I put Franco back down and scrub him behind the ears. That whole cross-country move, not to mention orientation at school, and Darian's been insanely busy with promos, so I've mostly just been talking with his manager, Gail. Long-distance relationships are hard. I found that out right away. The video got an enormous number of views, but reality soon settled in, and Darian went back to post-production, promo, and the next season of Seaside Cove. Sometimes I would see him with other girls in magazines, just friends I knew, and I pushed down the jealous part of me. I tried not to think too much about it. Senior year was busy anyway, between SATs and college prep and applications and scholarships. Plus, I had Sage and Cal to hang out with, and I even went to a party or two. No country club people there, of course. So it was okay that Darian went along with his life, and I mine. We never missed saying goodnight to each other, though, not once. But now that we'll be on the same side of the country, in the same city, it makes me nervous. Nervous because of his larger-than-life persona. Nervous because I don't know if I want to be part of that circus. Nervous because I have my whole life ahead of me, and this is just one small part of it. An important part, but a small one. I don't know if I can keep balancing on the tightrope. I'm starting at UCLA in the fall, film studies, because apparently my blog garnered the attention of some film professor and he liked my Starfield critiques enough to vouch for me despite my grades. My entire world is about to open up and bloom. Do I really want a famous boyfriend on top of all that? I bounce my knees nervously as our car reaches our destination. Cameras flash like strobe lights in a haunted house. I stare down the red carpet like a too long hallway. I gulp. Finally, the car stops.
"Okay, missus," the driver says. "Here we are."
Sage and Cal look at me expectantly.
"So, question,"
Sage says.
"Does this mean we can't gripe about his bad acting anymore?"
"Since when did I say his acting was bad?" Sage raises an eyebrow and my smile fades. "Not a word, you hear me?" I poke a finger in her face.
"My lips are sealed," she grins. "After you, Geekerella."
I sigh. One BuzzFeed article and you've got a nickname for life, apparently. And wrap my free hand around the door handle. Breathe in. Breathe out. The world is watching. Even Catherine and Chloe somewhere on that giant TV of theirs. Maybe they're sitting in their new condo in Mount Pleasant, in an immaculate living room, looking for someone else to make miserable. "You can do this, Elle," I tell myself. "You went to a cosplay ball alone. A red carpet's nothing." Channeling my inner Princess Amara, I open the door to a raging flash of cameras. I slide out, only slightly stumbling on the curb, and clutch Franco tightly like he's a football, and the theater door is the goalpost. I just have to get there. I strain my lips over my teeth in something that I hope is a smile and move down the red carpet. Thank God I decided to wear my Doc Martens instead of those 3-inch heels Sage suggested. I'd have done fallen flat on my face.
"What's your name, gorgeous?"
asks a paparazzo.
"Here with someone?"
asks another.
"Oh, look over there. I think that's the contest winner,"
someone else adds, pointing to a tall, dark-skinned woman making her way down the red carpet. The girl who won, way back at ExcelsiCon. And they flutter off to her like moths to a flame. I close my eyes and take a deep breath. Holy overload, Batman. How can Darian do this 24/7? I hold Franco a little tighter to my side. Talk about star crazy, huh, buddy? I whisper to him. Come on. Maybe I can get you a hot dog at the concessions stand, if there is one. Behind me, Cal gasps, grabbing Sage by the arm. Oh my God, that's Jessica Stone! She points down the red carpet to a beautiful dark-haired girl signing a fan's Starfield poster. God, I love her. Not as much as you, though.
Oh no, I'd be okay if you loved her more, Sage replies. Maybe we can share her. Hey, Elle, is that Darian with her?
A knot forms in my throat. It is Darian. He came to my high school graduation a few weeks ago, briefly in sunglasses. But seeing him across the red carpet feels like I haven't seen him in years. He looks so different in his natural habitat, relaxed and magnetic, an arm around Jessica as he talks warmly to a news camera. Everyone around drinks him in, wanting more. And for a moment, I feel so, so small.
We should go over, Sage says,
but I catch her before she can. She shoots me a strange look.
Why not?
He's busy. It's fine. I'll find him later.
But he's right there now,
she insists, furrowing her eyebrows. If she doesn't want to go, she doesn't have to, Cal says. I mean, he does look busy.
Too busy for his own...
I cut her off. Shh. We're not, like, official to the press. Sage glowers but quickly gets distracted.
Oh, is that Calvin What's-His-Face?
She loops her arm through Cal's and pulls her down the red carpet. I swallow the knot in my throat and look down at Franco. Well, at the very least, you'll be my date tonight. Right, Frankie?
Replacing me already, are you?
Asks a velvety voice above the din of the crowd. I glance up. Darian, standing a few feet away, puts his hands in his pockets. His suit cuts him at all the right angles, sharp and acute. He's not quite as bulky as last summer. His hair is a little longer for the new season of Seaside. He raises a single dark eyebrow. It's infuriating how well he does that. A blush burns the tips of my ears. I mean, he's a better actor than some people.
Ouch.
And he matches me perfectly, I add, fanning out my dress with my free hand. I told Sage to sew me a dress the exact color of Darian's Carmendor jacket. Brass buttons line my corset, glitter sweeping up the bottom hem as though I ran through a puddle of gold. Franco has a matching blue vest that almost doesn't fit around his belly. The edges of Darian's lips quirk up.
It's the wrong color blue, you know.
I glance up into his eyes. I don't know. I hear the Carmendor in this new film wears it right enough. He smiles. It's wide, unabashed, no secrets tucked into the edges.
You look beautiful.
I return a smile. Why am I so nervous talking to him here? Like I'm balancing on a tightrope, afraid I'll fall. You look... You know how you look. I don't have to inflate your bratty ego. You look terrible. That's how you look. Like, you didn't go to sleep until 2 a.m.
Actually, 4:30. And you know your nose twitches when you lie, right?
He touches his nose, approaching me slowly. I scrunch my nose and look away. It was around 4:30 for me, too. Shoulders sag a little.
I'm sorry I texted so late last night.
It's fine. Seriously. I know you were off saving the galaxy. I wave my hand toward Jessica. Getting my drift, he gives me a level look. I know things are going to get crazy for you for a while.
Exactly, he interrupts. Which is why I wanted to ask you.
A reporter calls his name.
Who's that girl?
The reporter asks.
Are you two a couple?
Where's she from, Darian?
She the girl from last summer?
Another chimes in, then another. Or maybe it's a paparazzo. They all look alike now. Even blogs are considered newspapers here. Everything is. Tweets and Instas and Tumbles and Snapchats being fired off faster than warp speed. The sooner we axe whatever rumor is brewing, the better. We're just... I say when Darian steps closer. Taking his hands out of his pockets, he reaches for my free hand and laces his fingers through mine. My words catch in my throat. He turns his face down toward mine, pressing his lips against my ear.
Quick. When the Nox invaded District 11 in Episode 34, what did Carmen Dor and Princess Amara do?
My eyebrows furrow. They join forces? He nods gravely.
Elle, would you join forces with me? Together we can defeat the Nox.
I stare at him wordlessly. Cameras continue to flash. Franco woofs, his tail spinning like a windmill.
Elle?
Do I want to? Do I really want to? I try to imagine the opposite. A universe without Darian. A universe without his goodnight texts, and teasing words, and those secret smiles he reserves only for me, the ones that are crooked and caring. And suddenly I realize that I don't like that universe at all. It wouldn't be nearly as impossible. And what good is this universe if it isn't impossible? But what about your promo stuff? I grapple for words. And marketing, and making alliances, and playing the field, and... He brings my hand up to his lips and kisses it.
I want you, Ablena. I want to try this thing with you, whatever this is. I want you to be my co-pilot. And I want to ask you before the movie, in case you really hate it.
Of course he would be afraid of that. Of course he'd be that big of a doofus. I press my forehead to his. The paparazzi snapping so many photos they blind me like stars. If you screw up, Carmen Dor, I say between my smile, so it looks like we're whispering sweet nothings instead of throwing shade, then I will personally make your life a living hell on my blog. Beneath us, Franco sticks out his tongue, looking from me to Darian expectantly.
Do you really mean that, Ablena?
I promise, swear, Ablen. He bends close, despite the crowds, despite the cameras, despite Franco's nose diving into his suit pocket where he's probably keeping a snack, and kisses me. Around us, the flashes flare like the thrusters of the good ship Prospero, sending my heart rocketing into the farthest reaches of this impossible universe.
Starfield Ignites the Stars by Danielle Whittemer. Previously published on RebelGunner.com. With a legacy as bright as Starfield's, expectations are high. Decades have passed since the series first aired, but Starfield still stands on its own beside such behemoths as Star Trek and Star Wars, and fist bumps with Firefly and Battlestar Galactica. Though the fandom was small, it was passionate. We Stargunners believed that we would follow Carmen Dor anywhere, even into the Black Nebula. And going into this film, I thought that was where it was leading us, into the unknown. Nostalgia can't compete with newfangled lens flares and artistically shaky camera angles. I hardened my heart for disappointment. I lowered my expectations. I gave in to the knowledge that my Carmen Dor would never be on the screen. And although I was not wrong, I was surprised. The film opens with an attack on the Federation ship Prospero by unknown enemy forces. And anyone who has seen the TV series will know what happens next. You will gird your loins and you will cross your heart, and the Black Nebula will open, and you will be sucked in with it. For viewers, and especially for fans, it's a moment of considerable trepidation. The fate of the universe literally hangs in the balance. And then he steps onto the bridge. Federation Prince Carmen Dor. Black boots shined and polished. the insignia of the Federation impressed into the leather, clad in a blue, a little bluer than his original uniform. But beyond outward appearances, Darian Freeman plays Carmendor a little differently, a little more unsure, a little more self-doubting when it comes to his own judgment. It's the one thing I miss from his character in the original, that utter confidence in everything he was. But Darian Freeman brings a depth to our Federation prince that David Singh left untapped. A flawed and deeply human side of a character we all know and love. Freeman's Carmendor is younger, brasher, and less heroically self-assured. But he's still Carmendor. Always thinking, always striving to be better than the person he was moments before. Maybe there's room to grow. But that's how I fell in love with this character in the original. Because of his idealism. His belief that you could be bigger than your bones. And with Jessica Stone's self-possessed, sharp-tongued Princess Amara and Calvin Rolfe's wisecracking Eucinides beside him at the helm, this captain is driving a considerably entertaining ship. Not everything in the movie is perfect. The catch-up expository dialogue can get wooden, especially for already informed Stargunners, and the cliffhanger ending may leave some viewers unsatisfied. But even with its shortcomings, the reboot manages to capture the heart of the TV series everyone fell in love with, that if you believe in yourself and have a few good friends, then you can do anything. You can be anything. So, as the saying goes, look to the stars, aim, ignite. Starfield opens nationwide this weekend. The sequel is slated for next summer.
This concludes the reading of Geekerella, a novel, by Ashley Poston. Copyright 2017 by Ashley Poston. This book was read by Eileen Stevens and Tristan Morris. This unabridged recording was published by arrangement with Quirk Books and was produced in 2017 by Blackstone Audio, Inc., which holds the copyright. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audio, Inc. If you would like to obtain a monthly update telling you about new releases, call 1-800-SAY-BOOK. That's 1-800-729-2665. For a complete listing of our titles, visit our website at www.downpour.com. Thank you.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.